Welcome to the Iron Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com/CBSSports and use the offer code FUN, F-U-N. Welcome to the Iron Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Roll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Matt Moore, we survived New Orleans. How's it going?
We did. I am very excited for the fact that I didn't die down there. I was pretty well behaved, but I still got to have fun. What was the best thing you ate all weekend?
Oh, God. Everything. There was...
The world.
Yeah, this place called Muriel's where I went the first night. It was just a spectacular dinner. Really good. What did I have? I had all kinds of. I had like a pan crusted piece of like drum fish or something like that, which was amazing. There were like barbecue shrimp and there were po boys during the weekend, shrimp and grits and jambalaya. I mean, just everything was good.
I had great food the entire weekend. Went to both Kashan and Pesh, which are run by the same chef, which the next time that you go, you've got to go to Kashan. They got a butcher shop around the back of it.
Yes.
With duck pastrami sliders.
Oh, that sounds like the best time.
They were legit. Oh, I mean, it was amazing.
This place called Root, actually. We walked to this place. It was like a 20-minute walk. But walked there one of the nights. And late night food, it was amazing. Like, I had roasted bone marrow. We had like the sausage rillettes platter that was incredible. That I definitely recommend that place.
Yeah, and then, man, my last day was pretty awesome. So I had to bump my flight, or I had to book another flight because I'm a moron. We'll talk about that another time. But I had to book my flight out later. So I had the whole day in New Orleans on Monday. And on Monday, I walked around the quarter, and I went and picked up chicory coffee from Café du Monde for my wife, and I had a breakfast, and then I wandered around some more. And then, like, my lunch was, like, an open-door cafe, the Royal House on Royal, and I was sitting there eating gumbo and fresh oysters, drinking a beer with, like, jazz music playing in the background and the sun shining down the streets. I love that city. I'm getting to the point where I want All-Star Weekend in New Orleans every year. I think that wouldn't be a bad idea. I think that'd be the best thing for everybody.
Everybody I talked to was like, we need a rotation, and this has to be in the rotation every 4 years. Nobody had a bad time there. It was incredible. I got to do Jim Rome show on Monday.
How was that?
It was fun. It wasn't Jim Rome. It was Tony Loughman, who I've talked to on Leadoff before, and it was just, like, I went to this random building in, like, the French Corridor, and it was this, like, old, like, French Louisiana guy with this accent and a limp, and he's like, the studio's in here, and it was just, like, this room with, like, a law library bookcase and a signed Saints helmet and a TV camera and then a chair for me to sit in, and he hooked me up with the microphone and the earpiece and dialed me into the LA studios and did like a 6-minute segment that went surprisingly well, and it was a lot of fun. And that guy was just awesome. And then he recommended this place for dinner called Irene's, which was Italian food. Italian food in New Orleans, like, not that it would be bad, but just you would expect to eat that Louisiana cuisine, and the Italian food was insane. That was also a great meal I had.
You know, it's also insane.
Everything.
Today's news and notes brought to you by Squarespace.com.
Squarespace.com. It's our new sponsor, as you heard at the beginning of the show, and we couldn't be happier to have them sponsoring our news and notes segment, which, hey, trade deadline, lots of news and notes.
Is there, though?
Isn't there?
I mean, some stuff. We have one trade to talk about, so the Kings are sending Thornton buckets to the Nets over Jason Terry and Reggie Evans, which means that they now have DeMarcus Cousins, Quincy Acey, and Reggie Evans.
If they could roll out, I mean, AC has worked a little bit on his outside game. They could roll that front court out there all by them lonesome. It would be great.
I want them to. I want Jimmer, McLemore, and then those three.
Yeah, why not?
And we'll call it Master Blaster from Mad Max.
Sure.
Yeah, it saves the Kings a little bit of money. I'm kind of wondering if they're going to buy out Terry.
Why would you have – I mean, all right. I already said my piece about Terry when the Celtics traded him. Well, when the Celtics had him last season, and then when they traded him to Brooklyn this season, he's just not good anymore. Like, he's not even he's barely passable. And so there's no point in him being on the Kings. If they bought him out and let him go, I mean, the thing is, he's got an extra year on the contract. He's got a contract for next year. So maybe depending on what kind of buyout he would take, then it could work. But, yeah, there's no reason for him to be around.
Yeah, so I would buy him out and let him go to a contender. How amazing would it be if he signed with Miami? How amazing would it be? I don't think they have any more room for anybody, but that'd be incredible.
No, that would be great. What? Okay, so clearly, like, this doesn't mean anything for the Kings other than they save a little bit of money, which helps them in the Isaiah Thomas sweepstakes this summer, which is restricted free agency, and that and it gives Ben McLemore more minutes, right? Like yeah, they're clearly not. I mean, Mike Malone came out and squashed that yesterday. Like, Ben McLemore is not going to be in a trade.
Yeah, and it's nice that I didn't like this trade when I first saw it, and I was like, what are they doing? And I reached out to a source there who did not get back to me. So there's your breaking news. But for me, it comes down to if they're saving money, they clear up minutes for McLemore, which I think they desperately needed to do. If they can get them off the books, and then I like bringing in as many badasses as possible to try and beat up Cousins. Like I want a ton of guys who just do not care for his crap. Like I want him to be. It's going to take a long time and many fights, but I want him to be worn down from fighting with teammates.
I do want to see the first time he and Evans go at each other in practice, because not that Cousins would be afraid of Evans, but Evans just isn't going to take any crap off of him. Yeah. And Cousins isn't going to take any crap off of Evans. And I don't think they're going to fight, but that would be a fun battle to watch happen.
Kevin Love's not being traded, which I know we're all surprised at.
I'm shocked. I'm literally shocked.
I will say, and people are like, you know, like, because Ken Berger, our colleague, reported that the Mavs and Lakers were interested yesterday. And so the question is, well, if the Wolves aren't going to do it, then why is it news? And the answer is, it as much as everyone kind of knows the Lakers are going to eventually make a play for him, it's notable to see that they're already targeting him. Like, this is already something that they're after. And it shows that the Mavericks are still – that they're itching, because you can never tell with Cuban, because sometimes Cuban's just like, no, I think we're better than our record, or I think we're good, or I want to – you know, I don't want us to make any big moves. And having it come out that he's actually making an aggressive move, even if it's futile, I think is at least noteworthy in the big picture. Right. It just doesn't have any sort of relevance to this specific deal because Love's not going anywhere.
Right. No, it's interesting that the Lakers would be positioning themselves to trade for him in a way – simply because it's just expected he's going to go sign there, right?
Right.
And so the fact that they would try to get him to maybe offer him a 5-year max, you know, whatever they can there, that's notable. The thing with the whole Mavericks involvement really intrigued me, because Dirk's going to be there for a couple of years, and you would have to have a defensive center with those two. But would they run out those two guys on the, you know, spacing the floor as like a 3-4? Because that would be phenomenal. Like, I don't know that it would work. It would just be incredibly interesting.
And then we could have in the finals the Heat going small ball and the Mavericks going big ball, and then
no, you get a fine if you go big ball. Just ask Marco Bellinelli.
Well played, sir. Sometimes the things you say are awful. That was well done. Bonus point. It's, you know, it's that TV experience. You're just getting more polished.
Yeah, I'm just getting more polished. That's what they look for in TV, is you to make a big ball reference.
What else is going on? So most of them are dying. Aldridge is reporting that the Gasol, the Suns talk is dying down. No big shock there. Do you think Powell gets moved? I don't, just because I think the Lakers are psychos about his value.
I think I don't even know that it's that anymore. I think it's just really hard to get that a $19 million contract move.
Yeah.
Like that is hard. And I know it's, they could just trade Okafor and that, you know, matches up basically. It's easier to say that than to do it, clearly. And yeah. There are lots of big contracts they could move him for, but it's still really hard to do. And there is, you know, there is value in Pau Gasol, and if they want a first-round pick for him, you know, that's kind of insane.
Where are you at with Jordan Hill right now?
I'm still not a big fan, but I don't mind him as like a fourth, maybe a third big in the rotation.
He's useful. Is that a good description?
Yeah, he's useful. Like the idea, that's part of the Nets-Kings trade, is it's assumed that the Nets are or it's reported that the Nets are going after Jordan Hill using their disabled player exception to absorb his deal, and I think it's going to end up costing, what, like $17 million or something ridiculous like that? But Prokhorov, I mean, he just lights money on fire for fun. Like, it's not a big deal to him. So, you know, if you throw him on that Nets team, I like it. If you threw him on the Suns, I don't mind that at all either.
Yeah, I think both of those are pretty good. I like the idea of him going to the Mavericks.
Ooh,
I like
love
them
that.
A lot more with Jordan Hill than with DeJuan Blair or Dallin Bear.
Yes, if they can pull that off, I love that move for them.
Because Hill can be a fifth starter. He's just got to absolutely be the worst starter you have.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with that.
He can't be better than anybody else on your starting five. But if you're just like, go clean up, because there have been a lot of guys that have been successful with that, like especially in the mid-2000s, the Mavericks and Spurs would basically – their center would just be a cleanup guy behind Dirk Duncan. And it's as long as this guy with good size, muscle, and energy, he gets a lot of easy buckets. As long as he doesn't screw up, you're fine. You just need somebody that has lateral movement to protect the rim. Like, that's all you really need.
He's got good enough hands. He can rebound. He can protect the rim a little bit. Like that, yeah, you're exactly the role you're describing for him. He's fine in.
I think a lot of it comes down to, and I have to look at what his percentage is actually at rim and on tip-ins. Guys that make tip-ins a lot, I think I like them better than most, because it drives me nuts when guys miss tip-ins, even though it's this exceptionally hard shot, because you're basically shooting over guys that are trying to kill you right in your face on a short shot, trying to control how hard you hit it.
Like, yeah, you're pushing a guy. You're shot. Pushing a guy as he's pushing you, and you're trying to have a feathery touch on the ball as you tip it in.
Right, but for some reason it drives me nuts when guys continuously miss that. It just makes me crazy.
Hey, let's talk about the proposed Grizzlies and Timberwolves trade that would absolutely drive both fan bases crazy. The deal is allegedly, you know, it's the Wolves want Tony Allen and Tayshaun Prince for Chase Bunger and J.J. Barea, and the Grizzlies don't really want to give up Tony Allen, right?
The words that a source with the Grizzlies that actually did get back to me gave me was they are strongly predispositioned against moving Tony.
Yeah.
That's the phrasing that they would use. If you want to know how to interpret that, it's he's not untouchable, but you're going to have to give them – like if it was Kevin Martin and Barea, that would be a conversation that I would bet that they would be interested in.
Yeah.
If it's Chase with a knee injury plus JJ, that's not enough, even to get rid of Tayshaun. Like, there's value in saying that you'll take Tayshaun back, but there's not value in saying you'll take Tayshaun back and you're going to take arguably their best perimeter defender on an excellent defensive team.
Right. What's funny to me is that the Wolves fans love the idea of trading Barea, hate the idea of trading Chase. And the thing I've heard is like, well, how are you going to trade the, you know, this bench needs more scoring. You're going to trade all the bench scoring we have? I'm sorry, there's no bench scoring on that team right now anyway. So I think I think the thing is, like, you might as well load up on defensive players and make those second unit stretches just murder for the opposing team. Like, yeah, you're not going to score at all. You're going to have to get a bunch of, you know, chaotic layups and fast breaks and hope to hit a couple of shots or get some tip-ins or something. But if you can keep the other team from either extending a lead or chipping into a lead during those stretches, that's all you need the bench unit to do. You just need the bench unit to be basically neutral.
If Chase is healthy, which is a huge question mark, I want him very badly. Because now it's –
absolutely.
If you tell me it's like Conley, Lee, Courtney Lee, Chase Budinger, Zebo, and Grizzlies – and Wendigo, like, or sorry, Marcus Saul. And that way, like – that way you have – like it basically gets back to the Spurs can't destroy us the way that it happened last year. And I was being them for a second, but you can't just double down on Zebo and kill Memphis that way. That's like a huge deal. And then you can tell that I like the fact that this management office is being so aggressive and saying we got killed for a very specific reason and we're not going to be like lazy about fixing it. Like they went out and said, Courtney Lee's available. He's an upgrade on our shooting core. Let's go get him.
Yeah.
Like, they're looking at Budinger and they're saying, okay, that would be an upgrade. Let's talk about it. And they're like, well, we want Tony Allen. Let's not get crazy here.
Yeah, that's the thing with Chase is if he's healthy, he's an excellent player. Excellent role player.
By the way, if the Timberwolves do get Tayshaun, if this deal were to get revived and go through, which Kimberger's saying it's mostly dead, and they were to roll out a Dante Cunningham, Tayshaun Prince lineup, I fear for the rims, sir. I fear for the rims on the mid-range J.
Oh, God.
It's bad.
Oh, it's going to be really bad.
But I was thinking, I was like, look, if all Tayshaun can do is defend, and all you really – and your offense is so good, that's all you really need, because a Rubio Tayshaun, you know, even if you have any sort of defender, you could Turioff, like that gives you kind of a defensive set at all three positions.
I actually like the idea of Tayshaun moving into the starting lineup and moving Brewer to the bench, just for the simple fact of they're both the same crappy shooter, but one shoots a third of the time from 3-point range as the other one. And Tayshaun is not a lockdown defender anymore by any means. He's an okay defender, but he doesn't gamble. You know, he's a solid guy. And that's the thing that kills him is Brewer, when he gambles and he's correct, it's fantastic. It leads to highlights. But he gambles so much, he's just not that steady defender that he was saying he was going to be. He hasn't been able to get out of that gambling mode. And if they just limited the gambling on the court, that would help them quite a bit.
And I think one other thing, especially to remember with Chase Bunger and the Timberwolves, he went through a pretty serious knee operation, you know, the lateral tear in his meniscus, and that is something that's really hard for a player to get over once. And I mean, we've seen guys like Tyrus Thomas, you know, it really Ron Artest was already he was already very much on the downhill of his career, but that kind of took away his effectiveness after. We've seen guys, you know, Russell Westbrook will be an interesting case of how he deals with it, but we've seen guys like really lose athleticism before and you know, just off one surgery. And for Chase to go through that same surgery twice in 1 year, I think that's the reason you have to make him available just after making it such a priority to re-sign him this past summer, is because if that knee surgery screws with him, yeah, he can still be an effective player, he can still shoot, but you know, twice in a year with that injury, that's a pretty hard thing to overcome. And at that point, you've got to try to get value, which hence the pushing for Tony Allen.
Matt, it feels like these teams are trying to build. You know what helps me building a website?
What's that?
Squarespace.com.
Oh.
Here's what the thing is about Squarespace.com. They make it so easy. Today's podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, where you can easily create your own professional website and online portfolio. And it's just like, I don't know, the platform's constantly improving. They're expanding with new features, new designs. The support is amazing.
The support's really important. Like, I've had my website hacked before, and it's a disaster.
Did have it hacked. I remember that. You had it hacked.
Yeah, it was awful by a Malaysian group. It was terrible. I still love Malaysia, though. All my listeners in Malaysia, shout out. But, yeah.
It had to have been blowback from Zoolander.
Probably. They've got a support team, though, at Squarespace that works for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's huge having those guys available, because I've been on server systems where you can't get a hold of anybody. They've got over 100 Squarespace employees on the customer care team. It's based in New York. Their office has been nicknamed – what's it been nicknamed, Zach?
The Care Bear Lair.
Oh, awesome.
We love wordplay. We love it.
When the Grizzlies wind up having like a bunch of young players, that's what I'm going to name – the arena next.
Absolutely.
So it's going to be the Care Bear Lair.
Yeah. You can start a website, just $8 a month. Includes a free domain name if you sign up for a year. Every design automatically includes a unique mobile experience, matches the overall style of your website. Your content's going to look great no matter where you view it, which is fantastic.
Yeah, you can start a free trial with no credit card at the beginning. And when you decide to sign up, if you use the offer code FUN, FUN, like what J.R. Smith has all the time.
Yes.
To get 10% off and to show your support for the Eye on Basketball podcast. You know, we want to thank Squarespace for their support of this podcast. It's been awesome.
It has been awesome. It's everything you need to create an exceptional website.
So I just got done talking on Memphis Radio about the Grizzlies deal. So that one seems to be dead, but we got a new one that's popping up.
Okay. Hit me.
The Rockets are trying to pry Rondo away.
Oh,
which is strange, because I keep being told that Rondo's not being moved and he's the future, and Danny Ainge said so. So there's no way they're trading him, despite him constantly being involved in trade rumors.
They have to be trading him for James Harden, because they don't rebuild, they just reload, right?
It just drives me crazy because every time I would report on, oh, so-and-so's talking to them about Rondo, or something where Ainge says, we're not trading Rondo, Celtics fans are like, see? And I'm like, guys, he's constantly out there. There's a reason his name keeps coming up.
I think Rondo even had a quote yesterday of like, I've been in the league for 8 years and I think I've been in trade rumors for 8 years. Like this isn't something that's like going to offend him. I think he understands at this point, after all he went through once the big three got to Boston and came together, like there were questions, even after they won the title, there were questions about whether he was the right point guard for them. I mean, he keeps coming up in trade conversations because one, teams want him, which is not a bad thing. And two, I think if it's not like he's such an elite player that he's untouchable, right? Like, he's fantastic. I think he's one of the best point guards in the league when he's healthy. But it's not like, I mean, if they were offered Chris Paul for Rajon Rondo tomorrow, would Celtics fans be offended if they took that trade?
And then there's the fact that like, Dirk Nowitzki's not involved in trade rumors. You know why? Because they're not going to trade him.
Right, exactly.
Like, LaMarcus Aldridge isn't involved in trade rumors. You know why? They're not going to trade him. But right. When a guy is consistently involved in these rumors, there's probably an indication why. I'm with you in especially rare for the deadline. I don't think there's going to be much. I think that we're going to hear a lot of talk, but I think that the new CBA has effectively frozen the trade deadline.
Yeah, you and I have both done a lot of radio recently, and that's been that question constantly. Is like, are we going to have – who's the big name that gets moved? I'm like, I don't know, Jeff Green? Like, I guess he could be the big name move. Like, it's just no one's giving up a first-round pick. I just don't – like, if they do, it's going to be way down the road and it's going to be super protected. You're basically going to have Secret Service around this first-round pick 24/7. Like, that – I mean, they're just – it's going to be unbelievably protected. And at this point, like, if you're not giving up first-round picks, I don't think that really gives teams the incentive to really, you know, take a risk and make a big move.
Here's kind of the question with the Rondo trade. I do have this one for you. Would you move Chandler Parsons to get him? Because the Rockets right now won't.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I think if I knew that I could move Beverly or Lynn somewhere to get a really good wing player, I would do it.
Yeah.
But that's... Parsons is still – I mean, he's so cheap and he's so good and he fits that team mentality perfectly. And I wonder – you know, I wonder stylistically – I don't think they would be worse by getting Rondo. I love Rondo. I think if he gets back to 100%, you know, it would be a great trade. But stylistically, it is a little weird of you have this team that chucks up so many threes, but you have a guy who wouldn't shoot threes. So when he and Howard are on the court together, you know, you have a great pick and roll combo – you have a guy who's going to set up the shooters, but is it weird to have that style but have two guys on the court for 32 minutes, 34 minutes a game that don't shoot outside shots?
It's also interesting to me, though, because, you know, if you keep Parsons, you're going to wind up having to give him a huge contract as well. Like, this is an opportunity for you to get some money so you can, you know, I guess you've got Harden and Howard locked, so you feel like you can get around everything else. But
well, I guess
Parsons is going to need a big deal.
Lynn has to be involved in this, or is it – you know, Ashik gets moved with Parsons.
There's talk that Lynn's involved.
Okay, if Lynn's involved, that's not bad. I mean, it's not bad, and I do agree. Like, Parsons is going to get paid.
Yeah.
Do you think that he's – I mean, I guess it's – do you think he's going to get more than $10 million a year? I mean, what's Rondo getting, 11? I think Rondo gets, like, 11 a year. So do you think Parsons is going to get 11 a year or more, and do you think – Rondo is going to get back to 100%? Because if those are both yeses, then it makes sense to swap those guys out.
I actually probably, you know what I would do? I would whatever, they probably have an actual system, an actual mathematical system to evaluate this, and they can adjust it based on the eye test. But I would bet that this is a question that I would do. I would look and say, who do you think is going to get more money, Parsons or Rondo? Because Rondo's expiring in 2015. So whichever those guys you think you can get back cheaper, maybe that's how I would decide. The other problem here, though, is the Celtics are going to want Parsons, Lynn, and two picks. That's what they're going to want for him.
That's insane.
Yeah.
And Parsons is a pick.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even give up Parsons, Lynn, and a pick.
Yeah, I agree.
Parsons and Lynn would be my – if you could the get only... back – like, let's say you could get back – I don't know. I'm trying to think of a young guy on that team I'd actually want back in the trade. I guess if you could get back a young player, like not Olenek, I guess either Sullinger or Bradley, because Bradley's going to hit restricted free agency, I think, this summer. Then maybe I might say, you know, you throw in Donatus if you're Houston. So you have like Parsons, Lynn, and Donatus against, you know, for Rondo and let's say Bradley. Would you do that? Is that too much?
Well, I think that the I think probably the issue there is the Celtics value Jared Sullinger way more than you or I do.
Certainly do. Yeah,
I think that's the kill. I think that's what makes this deal complicated is that there's stuff that you could do to get a deal there, but I think in particular, like, the Rockets are actually pretty easy to deal with. That's why they make so many moves. Like, Morey doesn't demand ridiculous things. If you offer them, he'll take them. Knicks.
Right.
But he does, in general, most of his deals are pretty even. But I think that with this situation, the problem is, I think with both Pau Gasol and Rondo, you're dealing with the same situation, which is you got GMs in big markets under intense pressure with lots of prestige who want to not just win their deals, but completely destroy them. And those are going to be very hard under the new CBA.
Yes, that's true.
Let's talk about some non-trade stuff.
Yes.
In the last few minutes we got. How about this one? I wrote this up yesterday because I thought it was really interesting at Kobe's presser. He mentioned this, and then Adam Silver said LeBron talked to him about it, about either a more extended All-Star break or breaks built into the season.
Yes. I actually heard from Blake Griffin about that during media availability on Friday.
Named reporter drop? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess that's a reporter drop.
It's like a name drop, only lots of people heard it. Like,
yeah, I asked Blake Griffin a question, and he answered it in a media scrum. But I asked, I think my question was like, you know, do you have any, like, what would you like to see changed under Adam Silver? And he said, I'd like an extra day or two for the All-Star weekend. He's like, you know, it's our time, you know, he's like, it's our time. Basically said, like, it's our time. We get a break from things, but like our schedules are so jam packed during these weekends that it's not really a break for the guys who are there for the All-Star game. Cause there's a lot to do. He's like, he didn't think it was a bad thing, but he just thought like another day or two. Like if you're never going to take that Thursday off because that's a nationally televised game, but if you gave Monday and Tuesday off, you know, for the teams that don't play on that Thursday and then you gave them Monday and Tuesday, like that's a very nice extended break for everybody involved. Because that, I mean, even like the workers and the city, the NBA, like everyone in that situation, it's a whirlwind.
I have an idea that came up this morning, and I haven't worked out the logistics, so this is a completely unformulated, probably improbable plan. But I have an alternate. So I think you could extend it probably and just like push it back and basically tell TNT, like, sorry, but no. Or just or maybe it's better to do what you're saying. Take Monday, Tuesday, and give them the 3 days off, basically. Because like, if you leave from All-Star right after All-Star, you get Sunday night, Monday, and Tuesday, and then go back to work on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Especially if you can bump some of the teams that you know are going to have All-Stars to Thursday, that would probably be better.
Yeah.
But I had this other idea, which is, what if you staggered out a week in which everybody gets a 5-day break at the quarter mark?
Okay.
So 20 games and 60 games in, you get a rotation where everybody gets 5 days completely off.
Okay.
You've got enough teams, I think you could do it. Like, you've got some teams, like, it was not that much of a change because there are times now where, like, you'll have a 4-day break. But this gets an established time during the season when you know I'm going to have 5 full days off. I can leave right after the game and go home and spend 5 days with the family and then come back on the 6th day.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I think it's a really good idea.
And I think a lot of it just comes down to, like, you can still – and, if you stagger it, you just do it like the NFL bye weeks. You stagger it so that there's still games going on, but everybody gets a 5-day break. And the question that may end up extending the season – are you willing to extend the season? Because that's, like, I think the problem with all these plans is, are you willing – because they've already talked about bumping all the draft back to the first week in July, which I want to go right on record. I and my family are very much against. You take Christmas from me. You take Easter from me. You take Thanksgiving. What else is there? You take Memorial Day. I want 4th of July.
Yeah.
Don't take 4th of July from me. Like, and you can say, like, well, you're whining because, you know, this is your job. And I'm like, that's fair. But there's so many people like me in that situation where all these families are losing another holiday. Right. We already have free agency on July 4th, which pisses me off. But
what is,
you need it.
What is the
give
argument,
us a holiday.
What's the argument for pushing it back? What's the point?
I think it's to give more of a break. They want to extend it so you can build in more time.
But I just don't get – like moving it, you'd essentially be moving it back 1 week because it's always on like June 24th or 25th or 26th or somewhere in that range, right? Like
right.
It's always that Thursday. Is it – I mean it's not like these scouting teams are going to take a week off. Like they're going to just keep working around the draft. It just means more draft workouts, more working for the organizations. I don't think that makes any sense at all.
Yeah.
As soon as the lottery is set, teams are. I mean, they're doing it before that, but teams are really like ramping up, getting workouts going. You know, like.
I think part of it, their idea actually is that GMs are exhausted because the teams in the late playoffs don't have enough time in between there and the draft. And like reporters, actually, we all complain about it too because we finished the finals last year. I went home for 2 days and then back out for draft. But
I'd like having the draft right behind the finals.
I agree. I'm like, get it over with. I'd actually want to move it up. move it to the Monday after the finals.
The night of the last game.
Right. Play it at 3, and then we'll do the draft right after.
Just schedule it for whatever that date is on game 7. If you end up double dipping, you end up double dipping. That's what I want.
So,
I don't like
that. Anything else?
I really don't like that idea. Let's talk about the All-Star Weekend a little bit.
Okay.
What were your overall impressions? Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday's game was a. I mean, I've been saying like this is supposed to be a celebration of the league, and I think that they pulled it off really well. I think they often do. You showcase a lot of talent, whether people like the dunk contest or like Saturday night or whatever, or like the actual game on Sunday. It's supposed to be a celebration and a promotion of the league, and I think it does a fantastic job of doing that. Do you get that same impression?
Yeah, I mean, I think especially with the fact that. You know, they've generated, I think, more conversation this time than they have in the past. Like, you had Blake going for 38. You had Melo breaking the three-point record. Kyrie kind of having a come-out party, which Cleveland fans have to be like, now you explode for 3? It's like in Death Becomes Her. Now a warning? I thought that the dunk contest, because everyone hated the format, and I still think it needs fixing. I like the fact that the league is still trying to make it better, though. They're not just like, yep, we're doing this. It sucks. Everyone hates it, but who cares? We're keeping it the same because it's a money grab. Like, they're trying to make it better, and I think that that's good. The actual dunks were awesome. The format was a little funky. I think if you add a round to it, you're fine.
Yeah, if they had, all right, these are 3 final dunkers. They're going to do a final round. I think it would have done gangbusters. Like especially the dunkers that ended up being in it. If you had Paul George, Terrence Ross, and John Wall going in that final round, would anybody have had a problem with that, with the dunk contest then? I mean, I thought it was really well done. I actually liked the format. I think it just needed tweaking. It seemed like they didn't have a plan if one conference swept the other conference.
Yeah,
in the battle rounds. And then all of a sudden it was just over and people were just confused. It was a lot like the ending to The Sopranos. I think people
That's a really good comparison.
I think people were trying to figure out if like their TV was cutting out or if something had happened in the arena that just stopped everything.
Like, oh, nope, we're done.
Yeah,
and
even the media
was like, is that it?
I honestly didn't know.
Yeah.
I was like, I guess we're done. And so I thought the format was cool. I liked the freestyle round where the three players were just going and doing a bunch of dunks. Like I guess it was a little hard to digest what was going on because we're so used to a dunk and then replays to show us how cool or how terrible it was.
Yeah.
And we didn't get that in the first round. I love the battle round. I think that's a cool wrinkle. I actually wish they made it more personal where they would announce, like the player would announce over the microphone, all right, I'm taking you. Like, let's make it more like wrestling style, you know?
Yeah, that's one of the things is you need them jawing back and forth.
Yeah, you need personality. That's the one I thought. The city of New Orleans was fantastic. I thought the crowds in the arena all weekend sucked.
I hate, like, I mentioned that in the post I wrote about the dunk contest. That was actually the first thing I said. I was like, you know, this set would come off a lot better on TV if the crowds were into it.
Yeah. I thought the crowds sucked. And part of that is because there's a lot of, you know, corporate stuff going on. It's a lot of corporate people getting to go to the games. And they're probably not that into it. It's a thing to be seen at. It's a cool, you know, it's a free ticket probably for a lot of them. And it just, I don't know, it ruined the vibe of everything.
but it's always about the energy. And people hate the missed dunks, and it ruins the made dunk because it takes away the buildup and anticipation. And I get that, but I loved what Dr. J said when he was great. You know, he was judging, and they said, "What did you think about this dunk?" And he said something to the effect of, "It's not about the misses; it's about the makes." And I think if we could get on that mentality, which is hard to do because there is a buildup, and if a guy misses it, and you know what he's going to do, the next dunk, it's going to, you know, it does take away some of the excitement of it. But if you just try to like divorce yourself of, all right, that miss is over, let's see now. And if like Paul George, yeah, it took him 3 times to do a 360 between the leg dunk, but he did a 360 between the leg dunk.
Yeah,
that's a sick dunk.
It's a sick dunk.
It is.
One last thing. Please, please, please put the winner of the D-League Dunk Contest in the contest.
Yes.
Please, please, please. Tony Mitchell's performance on Saturday was unbelievable. Rashad Jones's was just as good.
Yeah.
Both of those guys killed it. If you've not seen it, I haven't got a chance to post it yet. Go back and watch the D-League Dunk Contest. I'm not kidding you. It is unbelievable. They did. Tony Mitchell had a blind lob from outside the arena. Bounce. And then a massive tomahawk.
Tony Mitchell incredible. Is legit. Where did he go? North Texas or something like that?
Yeah.
I think he won the college dunk contest, or he's killed a lot of dunk contests he's been in. Like, that dude's legit. And I think he's good enough to be an NBA player. I think he'll be on the Pistons soon enough. And if he's in or on an NBA roster, he should be in a dunk contest. Like, that dude's legit. He can fly.
All right, man, I got to run. I got yet another radio hit, but it's been fun, man.
It has been fun. I will talk at you tomorrow.
Tomorrow, man. More rumors.
Yeah, more rumors, more trades. Let's do it.
Thanks, Zach.
Thanks.